So you say that what is it about their art that truly inspire, you know, that you just really find appealing?
Just the amount of details that they put into their artwork. I think for Kaworu Mori, this is especially true because her artwork, especially her more recent series, Bride's Story, it's just so incredibly detailed, the artwork. And you can really tell the amount of research and work that she puts into her craft, and that's very amazing to me. But besides Clamp and Kaworu Mori and various other artists, and Sailor Moon, of course, the other big fandom that I'm involved with is Princess Tutu. So this is, when I first got into it, it was still a relatively small fandom. It's still kind of small, but with Princess Tutu, it's really the story and the characters that really drew me in. And without spoiling anything, I will say that that series probably has some of the best character development I've ever seen in any story, period.
And you spoke about the idea that you like seinen manga. Anime? What types of seinen? Something like more along the lines of something like Girls in Ponza or something like that.
I don't know. Well, for me, I prefer stuff that's not fan servicey.
I see.
And so for me, it's more just, I guess not quite slice of life, but, let me think. Well, I guess maybe, it's a little hard to describe because so many animes, if you look at it from one angle, you could say, oh, it's shoujo. But if you look at it from another angle, you can maybe say it's like seinen. The last anime that I actually watched is Hokago no Pleiades. In English, it's called Wish Upon the Pleiades. And in some ways, I think that series could kind of be thought of as both shoujo and seinen in some ways, because the girls are magical girls, and so that's a very shoujo trope. But there's also a very heavy element of astronomy that's involved that I don't think 10-year-olds would necessarily be able to appreciate. And just the artistry that I think went into creating this very beautiful atmosphere with regards to astronomy. I think that's something that adults would probably appreciate more and not necessarily be something that young children would be able to comprehend.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say about, you know, you watched all these series throughout your life and, you know, eventually it came to this doujinshi, Sailor Moon Future Reunion. What was your road, you know, to fan fiction?
Oh yeah, that's actually kind of a little bit of a funny story. So, the first fan fiction I actually wrote was back in high school, when I was in high school, and it's for a manga called Hoshinenji. It was released in the U.S. by ADV, and they changed the name to Soul Hunter. So, if you're going to read it, read the manga, don't watch the anime. But I read the story with my friends from in high school, and it's a very long manga series. There's, I think, like 30-some-odd volumes, if I remember correctly. But there's just a lot of, a whole host of characters, their backstories, and it's quirky. The art style is quirky, and I was very young and impressionable, I guess, and I really fell in love with one of the characters, and I kind of wanted to write a fan fiction about this character, and I had, like, an idea in my head, and I started writing it, and I posted online, and I got shut down because people said my grammar was crap. And I still remember, after reading the feedback from people online, that I actually cried, but now that story never ended up going anywhere. So the only version of it that I know exists is actually with my best friend. And if she's listening to this right now, you will not put that online ever. Okay. So that's how I got started, with fan fiction. And since then, I've written other Sailor Moon fanfics. I've written Princess Tutu fanfics. And I think along this whole time. It's been a learning process. I've learned how to be a better writer, how to plan my stories better, you know, what are effective tools to tell a story, what aren't.
And what do you think are the do you think there are more practical applications that, you know, being a better writer might, you know, improve your work that you do in your doctoral studies, like, you know, with your composition and such?
I think writing fan fiction as a hobby has definitely helped me academically. I started writing fan fiction, as I have said, in high school, and I think the willingness to write and express myself helped me write my essays to apply for college, helped me write my applications for graduate school, and certainly helped push me through writing my dissertation for graduate school, as well as my scientific publications. Granted, the type of language you would use writing a fan fiction is very different from what you would use in science, but I feel like that some of the basic things are the same. You know, you want to be clear. You don't want to contradict yourself or be repetitive. And I think these are things that just come with practice. And I think writing fan fiction is just any sort of practice, and practice makes perfect, right?
Indeed, it does. But there's the other end of fan fiction, which is something that is heavily in the United States, less so in Japan, until possibly recently. For all you folks listening about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, there's been a lot of concern about that. But specifically, fan fiction is received a lot of controversy through the years as it regards to intellectual property, specifically copyright infringement.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think on that, you know, on that subject, being that your work, I mean, you're deriving it from something that somebody else has created. I mean, you know, what are your thoughts on this idea of infringing as an artist, as a writer?
Well, I mean, for me, I am kind of on both sides, because I am an artist, but I'm also a scientist who's trying to develop potential, you know, novel therapeutics and whatnot. And for that latter part, I do want people to follow intellectual property. But as an artist, you know, it becomes different, because with things like medicine or technology, it's something where there is, you know, a lot of hard money involved. It's very strict business practice, versus with being an artist, you know, you're talking about art here. And art ties in with emotion. It's, you know, a drug is not gonna, you know, creating a drug is not necessarily gonna be as emotionally investing as, say, you know, creating your own story. And so I think there's a difference in with that regards. But I think intellectual property is important, because, you know, it takes a lot of work to produce something that is original. But conversely, an idea is also like wildfire. You can't control where it will lead or where it will go. So I think what's important is to respect the wishes of the IP holder. I mean, just at least with regards to anime, manga, fan art, I know there are certain authors, especially in the U.S., that explicitly state that do not wish for derivative arts or works to be made. And I think if it's something very clear like that, then fans should respect that wish. But, you know, of course, there's also going to be people who don't care, and they're going to be willing to exploit both the IP holder and the fans. You know, by that, I mean like the people who make pirated DVDs, and they would not only rip off the fan subbers or Crunchyroll, you know, who have you, but they would also use fan art as covers for their pirated DVDs. And so, you know, there's people like that who just don't care. All they want to do is make a buck.
But I mean, do you believe that the infringement, because there's often been a forwarded point stating that if it's parody, who cares? Because it's in its own, you've mixed your labor with it. You've made it your own. You've made it an original idea. And then there's, you know, where there's a belief of, well, if it's not plagiarizing it, it's an entirely different concept. What are your thoughts on that?